Connected Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Mr. Bellinger, we have our friends at UPS reinstating some guarantees. I guess they did away with.
Yeah, they did at the beginning of the pandemic. Customers now, though, will be able to count on the delivery dates for United Parcel Service Express and Next Day Parcels. UPS suspended all of its guarantees back in March of last year, just as the pandemic lockdowns were taking effect and the delivery volume just took off.
How about that? Yeah. All right, what about the habit acquired during the pandemic that are likely to stick? I mean, a lot of them are likely to stick. Give me an example.
Shopping, especially United Parcel Service, will no doubt see continued strong demand. Surveys show that people will continue to do their shopping electronically even after the pandemic is over. UBS, the big bank, predicts more than 70,000 American stores will close over the next 5 years as a result. Forecasters say stores selling clothing, office products, and sporting goods will be hit the hardest.
All right, AstraZeneca needs a new U.S. plant. What are they going to make there?
A vaccine. The Biden administration is going to help find that new vaccine manufacturing facility. The company agreed to abandon an emergent biosolutions plant in Baltimore that was making ingredients for the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccines. J&J is taking over that plant, as we were reporting yesterday. AstraZeneca's vaccine has not yet been approved for use here in the United States, but the government has already placed advanced orders for 300 million doses.
How about that? All right, futures look like what, sir?
Still a little bit lower, but improving. S&P futures are down 3 points now. NASDAQ futures actually have turned higher. They're up 4, and the Dow futures are down 31. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, makes it about 8:10. 700 WLW. We go till 9 o'clock this morning. Scott Sloan is in then, and we got to take a look at events around the world. And we have an issue here with a fair amount of activism as opposed to journalism, and this goes to the whole idea of companies speaking out, and then in the case of Major League Baseball, making the point to move the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. And if you're just waking up to that news, yes. Colorado does have some fairly restrictive voting regulations. In fact, in some cases, the same or more restrictive than those in Georgia. But I'm not sure what all the criteria was that went into the MLB decision, and who does know. So then you have a number of companies came out, Delta, Coca-Cola, among others, Home Depot, who all had a thing or two to say about the Georgia vote and why they didn't like it. But not everyone spoke out. So now you have the media trying to, I guess, force, you say, other companies to take a stand. And in one case, CNBC and CNN have both put out like lists of companies that have yet to comment. Well, you shouldn't have to comment. You should just be able to be a company and not feel compelled to. In fact, I think it'd be better off if companies really didn't comment on these issues. CNBC, Brian Schwartz there did a piece on the major companies such as Disney and Geico that haven't issued statements on restrictive voting bills. And if I'm heading up Geico, I'm like, why should I do that? Now, the whole idea behind business is you want to do business with everybody. You don't like to make half the people angry, upset, miffed with you in any way. You want everyone to like your company. That's why it's typically not a good idea to take steps like this. And then you get into the situation in Atlanta, which is a majority black city, and I'm not sure if anybody weighed this as far as decision-making, like Major League Baseball, but a lot of local companies make a lot of money off events like the All-Star Game. And in Atlanta, those would be a lot of black-owned companies. So you yanked it. I guess in the interest of racial sensitivity, you yanked this game out of Atlanta, you put it in Denver, which is 10% black. I mean, I guess it's almost refreshing that they didn't stop to think about that, because for the most part, that's the primary thing you have to focus on every time you make a decision in America today. But they didn't. So both CNBC and CNN are demanding some sort of comment from every company out there. I don't think I've seen a comment from P&G or Kroger. I don't think. We'll see if CNBC pressures them. But the whole idea is that's it's a form of activism to pursue that. It's not like waiting to see what happens news-wise. I mean, if they want to make news by making a statement, they can do that. But trying to force them to do it is not journalism. Now you're more into the world of activism. And we have activists out there. Let the activist be the activist, but if you're supposed to be a journalist, why don't you perhaps be a journalist? Seems like a good idea to me. Elsewhere, where people are changing their minds, the whole idea of defunding police in Portland, there, the Oregonian, the newspaper, was all in favor of it. We got to defund the police. We got to figure out a different way to police out there. And there was specifically, as we have here, like a gang task force, anti-gang task force. And they had one there, too. And the paper was fully in favor of just disbanding that. That's ridiculous because they were disproportionately stopping black Portlanders with guns. So now, because everybody is shooting each other again, they've decided we have to bring that back. A huge spike in violent gun crime in Portland, and they have reversed their earlier enthusiasm for defunding police and are now editorializing against any plans to give unspecified violence reduction missions to community groups. They're deciding that they probably need police instead. So last year they stripped millions from the Portland police budget, and they had to shut down their gun violence team. And they've come out with a new editorial saying, certainly restarting a gun violence team at Portland Police that was disbanded last year is not an easy step to take. Like many across the country following the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Portlanders examined how to root out racism in policing and other institutions. Under the leadership of Portland City Commissioner, the council resoundingly voted to cut the Portland Police Bureau by $15 million, which for a city that size is a big chunk. Disbanding programs, including the specialty gun violence team of officers whose disproportionate stops of black Portlanders generated deep resentment. I have to make this point, and I've made this point at least once before. This whole idea of the Chauvin trial in Minneapolis being somehow a litmus test on racism in America. I mean, the crime wasn't even a litmus test on racism in America. The issue here was about a cop who killed a guy, not following procedure, and looked to be kind of cold-blooded in the course of doing it. But there was nothing about that killing that, as anyone has shown me, had anything to do with race. People simply decided, because the cop was black and because the suspect was white, this is all about race. You can guarantee, starting day one, news outlets scoured the social media pages of every cop involved in that situation, looking for anything, any morsel, anything they could latch on to that could suggest that somehow that event was race-related. Never found a thing. Nothing. Couldn't find anything insensitive spoken or written by any of those cops involved in the George Floyd killing. And yet we still insist this is somehow a litmus test on race in America. I mean, there are going to be police incidents across this country, most of which will probably be same race, but all the time, I mean, every single day, we're going to have black cops arresting whites, Asians, Hispanics, Hispanic cops arresting white, blacks, Asian, whatever. All day, every day in this country, and sometimes it's going to get violent, and sometimes people are going to die. But because, you know, the video of this, and you had Chauvin looking about as cold-blooded as you could look, kind of staring down the people who were videotaping him, I can see why the video made its way around the world, but there's nothing about it that is a litmus test on race. And we'll continue to hear that throughout the rest of this whole trial. Probably if we go to ABC News in the next half hour, we'll hear the same thing again. But nobody points to where that plays into it, just that it obviously does because, you know, they're different colors. Just bear it in mind the next time you hear it, because you will. It is 8:18. We turn at times like this to Chuck Ingram because it's time to talk to him.
Thank you. Where is that in the rule book?
I read it. So it's North 71. This is by Wilmington. This is two tractor trailers all tangled together.
Before you get into Wilmington, yes, it is just above the Lebanon ramp and 123. Two semis hit earlier, and looks like they've been trying to get everybody over to the right-hand side, well, for the last 20 minutes or so, and I'm stalling because I just saw one car go by, but it's going to take a while to get rid of the backup if they get this left lane open again.
Gotcha.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances in greater Cincinnati for more than 50 years. Had a car blocking the contraflow lane on northbound 71 above Red Bank. That's out of the way. Traffic's running heavy from before the lateral. The inbound 74 now are broken down on the ramp 75. That's slowing traffic from Montana. Northbound 75, brake lights continue through the cut. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, forecast calls for sunshine today. Maybe 78 for a high, and some will see or feel an 80. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy, 55. Tomorrow, an isolated afternoon storm is a distinct possibility, but all the way up to 76 again tomorrow. And it does stay, you know, pretty much 70s right on through the weekend, so we're winning right now. Temp is 56 at 700 WLW. One more paragraph. I didn't finish this where they're changing their mind in Portland about having cops. They went on to say, while we supported the move at the time, that of defunding the cops, and all Portlanders should recognize what's also been lost. The gun violence reduction team responded to every shooting, identifying incidents that were connected and helping disrupt potential retaliatory action. Officers had established relationships with many of those considered high risk for being involved in gun violence, connecting people with resources in the community, as well as communicating with them about ongoing disputes to keep violence down. Now, why they voted to disband that in the first place, I have no idea. So then, as part of their work, they took dozens of guns off the street. So they're actually in favor of going back to that because now people are killing each other in, record numbers. So, and, of course, those disproportionately victimized in the recent crime spike are the black residents. So they're going to go back and try to fix it again. And we'll see how well they do. When you have that one, I mean, hasty's the word. It was just one of those moves where I had a hard time believing that sensible people all over the country were deciding taking money from a police department was a good idea. Because activists in the street were demanding it. It was a dumb idea at the beginning. It will be a dumb idea today, and it'll be a dumb idea tomorrow. At least in one city, they're waking up to smell the coffee. I think Seattle is, too. It is 8:21. Get a pause in here and eventually work you in. But a few other things I want to get to between now, we have a chance to do that. 513-749-7000 or 800-THE-BIG-1.
We're having a pajama party.
It's time for a pajama party.
Hold on. Whoa, excuse me. Can I have a second here? Thanks. I'm Scott Sloan, inviting you to listen to my show.
The Sticking on the Pirates at 5:40. Why is it 5:40 airtime there, Austin Elmore, huh? I need an answer. 6:40 first pitch, but why is that? Why?
Early season home games, they start earlier, usually because kids are in school.
And because it's so much warmer at 6:40 than it is at 7:40.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, make a big difference. All right, so that's it. And then tomorrow there's a day game. Then the boys are out. Man, having to go to the West Coast twice in a month ain't easy based on how they typically play in the West Coast.
Get it out of the way, though.
Yeah, Arizona and San Francisco, then come back, then go back out a week later, play the Dodgers and who else? Is it just the Dodgers? Anyway, two West Coast trips. How are the Dodgers doing so far? I know they're trying to buy a World Series.
I believe they're 4-1 to start the season.
Okay, World Series for sale.
But your Philadelphia Phillies,
they are undefeated. 3-1 or 4-1?
4-0.
You're right. 4-0. Right, that is an O. In fact, that's what undefeated means if you think about it.
Yeah.
Austin, think about it.
Last I checked.
All right. Go Phils, go Reds. What do we have? Do I have time for this? A little bit. We don't hear as much about income inequality right now because other things have taken the headline. But I had this 2 weeks ago and then sat on it. I made this point before that when it comes to inequality, we tend to not count the taxes we took from the wealthier person, and we don't count the benefits we give to the lowest quintile. We just take his word for it as to how much money he made, and it goes from there. Anyway, Census Bureau, that's how they collect the information that we hear. They fail to count two-thirds of all government transfer patients. They don't count Medicare, don't count Medicaid, don't count food stamps. And about 100 other transfer payments they don't count as income to the recipient. So therefore, when you get the numbers that show that there's this huge disparity in income, they're not counting those things, nor are they counting the taxes they took from the wealthier individual. So let's say somebody makes $300,000, pays about a third of that in taxes, probably a little bit more than a third, versus somebody who made, say, $20,000 and then collected, whether it was money for rent, whether it was food stamps, whether they're on Medicare, whatever the case may be, or earned income tax credit, just a flat-out cash payment from the government, those things aren't paid. So in one case, you would see that $300,000 to $15,000, the guy's making 20 times as much as the other guy. But when you get it down to transfer payments, the person making 15 is going to be making closer to 45, and the person at 300 is probably making a little bit under 200. So the disparity really is about 6 or 7 times as opposed to 30 times, which makes a big difference. And the difference is whether or not we should get the fact that when you look at the numbers as this is broken down, according to the Census Bureau, not only is income inequality not growing, but is actually lower today than it was 50 years ago, if you count it. Because in total, we transferred back to 2017, we redistributed $2.8 trillion from upper income to lower income. $2.8 trillion and counted only one-third of that as being transferred. So if you were upfront about how much money is being taken from one group and given to the other, then declare what income inequality is, that would make more sense. But we don't do that. And it ends up looking far worse than it actually is. And people believe it's far worse than it actually is. I will try to put this whole thing online because it's pretty extensive, the explanation. But it makes perfect sense. And I will endeavor to do that and let you know if we get it done by the end of the hour. Meanwhile, it's 8:30 in the morning. We got to work news into the picture because that's what we do. News Radio 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Consolidating the states.
The Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Mr. Bellinger, the president's going to talk about vaccines later today. What do we think he's going to say?
Well, the president's reportedly going to move up the target date for all American adults to be eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine. CNN says the president wants across-the-board eligibility by April 19th. Mr. Biden said previously he wanted all adults eligible by May 1st.
All right.
As of last weekend, nationwide vaccines hit a 7-day average of more than 3 million a day, and 4 million shots were given last Saturday. A couple of milestones to mention here.
4 million, that's a big number.
It is.
All right, airline pilots being recalled. Get back here.
Yes, the airlines anticipate a rebound in travel as more people get vaccinated. Carriers are recalling pilots from furlough. Delta Airlines recalled all of its pilots, more than 1,700 of them. More than 200 Southwest pilots will be back on the job June 1st. And United Airlines said late last week that it would be hiring 300 new pilots because its planes were filling up.
All right, then the Labor Department has their JOLTS report coming out. What is the JOLTS report?
This is an acronym for job openings and labor turnover. The report's coming out after the market's open. Economists expect to hear that about 6.9 million vacancies were posted in February, and the rate at which workers are quitting their jobs voluntarily is seen as a proxy for worker confidence. We'll see how that's going.
All right. Where do futures stand, please?
They are mixed now ahead of the Tuesday session. S&P futures are down 3 points. NASDAQ futures are up 10. Dow futures down 38 at the moment. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
700 WLW. Greg Stebbins joins us once a week. We call him our business insider. And, of course, Greg has a podcast you can check out online, The Morning Report Podcast. Just about 4 minutes long and keeps you up to speed. But, Greg, good to have you back, sir. How's life today?
It is great, and I'm very excited to talk about a few trends in the business world that I think are going to make everybody really happy.
I think so. If they come to fruition, we're talking about a four-day weekday, with or work week, I should say, with a nap in the middle of the day. I'm up for that. And I guess from a couple of different angles, in Spain, they're actually paying some companies to try out the whole idea of a four-day work week. And this is still 8-hour days, right? Not stretching it to 10 to make the 40 hours?
Well, that's right. It's actually reducing the number of hours people work in a week, so from 40 to 32, over 4 days instead of five, no cut in pay. And, you know, it sounds crazy at first, but let's sit back and think about it from a company's perspective. What's going to make a company interested in this idea? Well, let's see. Increased productivity and reduced costs. Well, it turns out that in some trials, and I'm talking with some U.S. companies, but not crazy U.S. companies like Uber or Airbnb, but with Microsoft, they did a test in Japan with 2,300 workers, reduced the work week, and what they found was a 40% bump in productivity. You get almost twice as much done, they found, in less time than more time, and they saved a bunch of money on the cost of office space. So suddenly companies go, we're going to get more done and save money doing it. You can work 5 hours a week if you want, if you can keep producing that.
Yeah.
So I think this may have real legs, and Spain is the first country to go in on this as a country instead of having companies try it to see how it works.
And it was like 90% of the employees liked it too, and why wouldn't you? It's a three-day weekend every week.
I don't know too many people I've ever worked with who said, you know, I want to work more. It is important to make the distinction here that the idea here is not that you work 4 days a week at the office and then you go home and work the fifth day or even keep working into the weekend. No, the idea here is you literally work less hours every week. And it turns out, or at least research at this point shows, that it really is a big win for everybody. You as the employee and you as the company.
So we know about Spain. We know Microsoft tried it in Japan. Has anybody tried it in the U.S. that you know of?
I don't know of any off the top of my head, but this idea has been talked about for a long time. So I know there are companies that have tried it. I just don't know. I can't tell you what the examples are.
All right. The other one we talked about is the idea of taking a nap in the middle of the day. Now, you go back a couple decades, and to make it not sound like you were slacking, someone decided to name it the power nap, and you were encouraged to take a power nap in the middle of your day. But the idea here would be you've been working from home, you've been taking a nap. What happens when you go back to the office?
Well, right, and it turns out in a survey, about 30% of people who, because of COVID, began doing remote work, about 30% admitted. So how many people didn't admit it? But 30% said, yeah, I've been taking kind of a secret afternoon nap every day because I'm at home. Why wouldn't I? And I think when you hear people pushing back against the idea of going back to the office, they're going to have some secret, they're never going to confess it, reason for it. It could be a nap. You know, it could be I like to play with my dog in the middle of the day. It's all kinds of things. But I think in the case of naps, there is a ton of research that shows that if you actually encourage people to nap in the middle of the day and even teach them how to do it, because the experts say, you know, like you shouldn't lay down in your bed if you're at home. You want to stay a little bit upright. You don't want to sleep too long. But if companies actually help employees take naps at work, that too may increase productivity. And one of the things I find so interesting about both of these stories is neither one of them probably would be getting any traction. We wouldn't be talking about them at all if it wasn't for COVID, and COVID is forcing us to change all the rules.
Yeah. What about massages at work? That's what I want. Massages, naps, and a four-day work week, and I'm happy.
Well, you're laughing about that, but I spent some years working for startups in Silicon Valley, and I can tell you, one of the Friday perks was they would bring in a team of massage therapists with their chairs, and exactly what you said, you'd get a massage at the end in the afternoon on Friday, so you could unwind from the week of work and go home and have a great time and come back ready to hit it on Monday.
It was like your little treat. You give the dog, good week. Here you go. Have a little massage.
That's right. If you sit up with your hands up and wag your tail, we'll throw you a little doggy bone.
You got it. That's funny. Well, put me down as all in favor. In fact, I think the audience in general, even many in management and ownership, say if productivity does in fact go up, they're certainly more than fine with that. So,
yeah, I hope on both sides of it. Employees, obviously it's easy to be enthusiastic about this, but I think owners and management, looking at this makes a lot of sense. COVID has forced us to think about things we might never have thought about before, and these are a couple of good ones to take a look at and see if they make sense for you and your company.
No doubt. All right, Greg Stebbin, good to talk to you, and people be sure to check out the Morning Report podcast, and I will talk to you again 1 week from now. Good to have you.
You bet. It's great to be here.
All right. Do it again next week. Just about 8:47 right now, 700 WLW. Quick check of traffic. Chuck knows all. What's going on out there?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances in greater Cincinnati for more than 50 years. Northbound 71 continues to struggle through Warren County. It's due to an accident above 123 that at one point had the highway shut down. Traffic only gets by single file on the left-hand side now. Northbound 75, slow go through the cut approaching the Brent Spence Bridge, and crews are working to clear a wreck on section near Ridge. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
I knew I hit the button. 9 first warning weather forecast. We have sunshine today. We might hit 80. 78 is a for sure. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, 55. Tomorrow, maybe an isolated storm in the afternoon, but still back up to 76 with a mix of sun and clouds. And it is 57 right now. Crew chief wanted to throw something into the mix before the pause. What's up, crew?
Hey, Mike, I was going to call and tell you why liberals should listen to you every morning like I do, but I want to comment on Greg Stebbins' piece there.
Yes.
I'm a truck driver. I'm based just north of Dayton, and I'm home every day. We serve a retail customer, and that'd be ideal. Now, the distance of our stores like Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Lansing, Michigan, we need a longer day, 12 to 14. That's fine, but if we only work 4 days a week, I bet our productivity would go up. I bet you our retention would go up, and our frustration would go down. I think it would be a win-win.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the average trucker getting per mile these days?
It depends. Personally, I get 60 cents a mile, and I'm home every day. That's actually pretty good. I'd say it's closer to 50 to 55 is average.
Let me tell you this, because I heard something last week, and it was somebody claiming that a truck driver could make upwards to $400,000 a year. I said, that's ridiculous. Then over the weekend, I talked to a gentleman who's in logistics. He's in trucking. And I told him this ridiculous stat, and he said, you know, it's not that far off. There are some companies out there right now paying $4 a mile. Not his. I said $4 a mile.
Yeah.
I mean, you must be. Are you lugging nukes? What are you lugging at $4 a mile?
Mike, there's a difference. Now the owner operators make more money, of course, and they budget well. They can keep probably more than a company driver like me makes. I do real well, I believe, as a company driver up here in Dayton. As you know, we've got to compete with home everyday jobs like construction and manufacturing.
Right.
So we probably get a little bit more than some of our drivers on other accounts. So, like I said, I do well, and I love this job. I've been on it 19 years.
Well, keep it up and keep on loving it.
Thanks, sir.
Talk Chief, to you, have a good day. Thanks, and see you. You betcha. Come up on about 8:50? Yes, it's 8:50. Find out what Sloan's doing and what he's kicking off with here at 9:06 and get back to you.
Some scientists believe early man began speaking between 50,000 and 2 million years ago to teach each other how to make stone tools.
Oh. Zug, zug. What?
Probably talking about, I'm betting transportation. Talking about transportation in Ohio. We'll see if I'm right at 9:06 this morning, because that's my prediction. And just below that, okay, mentioned earlier, Jose De Leon with a great start on the mound last night for the Reds. got his first hit of his baseball career. First time he'd been in the batter's box since 2016. His first hit was on an 87-mile-an-hour breaking ball. Congratulations. All right, what else, what else, what else? Couple things. We have the Prez still thinking about forgiving student debt. He wants to forgive $10,000. Others are saying $50,000. Chuck Schumer said, I thought about it, and I think $50,000. They don't want this to go through the Congress. They just want executive orders, stroke of the pen, write it off, $50,000, regardless. The rest of the American taxpayers will pay for their college. Why would anybody in the future pay their student loans? I mean, if you're going to write it off for everybody today, it's kind of like the reparations argument. What about the people 2, 5, 10 years from now? Are we going to do this every year from now till the end of time? Because the claim is going to be, well, the people in 2021 got theirs paid for. What about those of us in 2024? Would have been the same with reparations. If you paid reparations to descendants of former slaves, what about the ones that are born the day after reparations are paid? The year after? 5 years, 10 years, are you paying the bill forever? I mean, basic questions that nobody takes the time to answer. And no, if you took out the student loan, then you got to pay it. I don't even like the $10,000 idea because, again, a year from now, well, what about the people last year? They got $10,000 knocked off. It's going to be every year moving forward. Now, doesn't mean everybody thinks like me and won't go ahead and do it anyway. They probably will, at least the $10,000, because as part of the campaign, he said that's what he was going to do. So we'll see. I just want to know what's in the future. Once you do that, then what happens? That's what I want to know. Your health tip of the day so that you don't die young or get dementia. It turns out they say that processed meat increases chances of having dementia. Caution on the bacon. Can a slice of bacon a day lead to dementia later in life? University researchers say yes. Eating even a small amount of processed meat each day significantly increases the risk of mental decline. And that would probably mean me. The study of 500,000 people consuming 25 grams a day, which is the equivalent of 2 strips of bacon, raises dementia risk by 44%. It could be bacon, sausage, canned meats, cured items like salami. On the other hand, authors reveal eating unprocessed red meat may actually lower the chances of developing the disease. Consuming 50 grams of meat like beef, pork, and veal contribute to a 19% decrease in dementia risk, and on from there. So, heads up on the bacon. The bacon could be your undoing. We shall see. All right, anything else we got to do? Anything on the blog worth seeing today? I think we missed, there's nothing on the blog. Well, there's great stuff from previous days, don't get me wrong. In fact, just from yesterday alone, what did we have on there? I must remind you, because it must be seen. Come on, 700WW.com. Doesn't usually take this long. Of course, when you want it up instantaneously is the one time it decides to take its sweet little computerized time. Anyway, just go there and, wow, we apologize. All our servers are down, says iHeartRadio. Good thing my show's over with, and good luck to Sloan. I'm done for the day. I got to go. So, 5:06 tomorrow. Let's do it again. Get up bright and early and join me, won't you please? Right now it is 9 o'clock at news time, News Radio 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Ohio's COVID rules are changing.